Packers game is over, and now it's time to break this one down. This is the Palermo Screaming Sicilian Pizza Green and Gold Postgame Show. Now, live from the International Hyundai West Dallas Studios, here's the big unit, Bill Michaels.
I gotta admit, I picked the Packers to win this game. I thought coming out of L.A., they would have put on a much better performance, and disappointingly, they did not. 31-17 as it stands at the two-minute warning. I'm Bill Michaels. Gary Ellerson is back on this Sunday night as he is recuperated, for the most part, from the knee surgery. How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling good tonight.
Yeah?
Better, yeah. Getting better every day.
Yeah, you can't wait to use that metal detector card at the airport.
I got one. How'd you know?
I know.
Well, you know, better yet, when we go to Green Bay next week, right? That'll be the telltale sign.
If you go, well, I don't know if they're as sensitive as what the TSA has, but true. Nevertheless,
yeah. Well, we hope they are.
Yeah, you would like to think so,
right?
This game, I thought coming into this ball game, I thought the Packers' offense was going to just shine. I thought this was going to be kind of a shootout. I was thinking 31, but I wasn't thinking 31-17. I was thinking maybe 31-28 or 27-24 or something like that. How surprised are you that this offense just simply continues to shoot itself in the foot?
Because it's still what we've been talking about this now. You and I have been doing this for a while. It still feels disjointed, and it still is disjointed. As long as you have two play callers, it's going to be disjointed. And two play callers are Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy. And I think you have two play callers. I think you have two different game plans, and you have two different ways about going and doing things. It just feels like they're just not on the same page. And so it's going to be, you know, I think it's forever going to be this way unless – here's what has to happen. And I know a lot of people want Mike McCarthy gone, and I'm okay with that. Because at some point, it has to happen. You remember when Mike McCarthy came in and Brett Favre was here, and Brett Favre had his best year he ever had, statistically speaking. And I think there was a conversation Mike McCarthy had with Brett Favre. If you wanna change your plays, if you wanna do all this stuff, then you need to meet me here at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Well, he's not having that conversation with Aaron Rodgers.
Nope.
And so Aaron Rodgers feels like he is as equal or better than Mike McCarthy. And when that starts happening to your organization, then you can't control what's happening on the field. And I think that's what's happening right now between Rodgers and McCarthy.
I've said it before, at the end of the Mike Sherman era, Brett had thrown a pass that blatantly should have never been thrown and got picked off. And he comes to the sideline. You could see Sherman just irate.
Yeah.
And Sherman kind of looks at Favre for a reaction. And I asked Favre later, I said, what did you say? And he looked at him and said, what are you going to do about it?
See, yeah.
And yeah. I think that's where we're at.
That's where we're at.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So that's where we're at. And you knew we were at that point, I think, early this year when Aaron got onto some of the young receivers or something like that, and then they went into McCarthy, and then McCarthy said, well, maybe, you know, Aaron probably shouldn't be saying that or something like that. And then Aaron comes back and said, well, somebody's got to stand up and say something.
Right.
You can't – you got to pipe down after your coach had come out and said that. So you kind of feel like that's where we're – and I think that's some of the problems. It's not that McCarthy's a bad coach. McCarthy needs to put Rodgers in his place, and he won't do that.
It's – the funny thing is that
so then you get other stuff off of
it. Yeah, I was going to say you jettison a guy who disobeyed. You jettison a guy who has spoken out.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier in the week, what we learned from the Green Bay Packers is you can't do that unless you're a star.
Right.
And then you can do whatever you want.
Right.
And they're never going to say a word to you.
Right.
So,
but that's always been that star guy, and that's in certain workplaces too.
Right.
That star guy has always been like that, but that star guy has to do it with a certain decorum, with a certain respect. You know what I mean? Where it's not spilling over to everybody else. And he may think he's bigger than everybody else, but he's not upstaging the big boss. And that's what Aaron Rodgers is doing. He's upstaging the big boss. So I'm fine for a change. And Mike may need to change himself. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Well, when he said a while back that sometimes just a different voice is needed.
Yeah.
And I'd said at the time that paints you into a very tight corner.
Yeah.
Because you're the only guy left standing after all of this.
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah, maybe a different voice is needed. Right. I've never been one to come out and fire a coach. And I defended for a long time Ted Thompson. I could see things starting to go south and maybe this is going to be the year.
We saw this 3 years ago, Bill.
Yeah, and I used the I told the story about when we were down in Chicago. And everybody else is watching the play in the field, and he's worried about his coat. And I thought, something's not right at this point. Yeah, remember he kept coming over going, there's my duster, you know. Yeah. Oh, that's what Clint Eastwood would wear. Right. I'm like, your quarterback just scored a touchdown. Right. Oh, you know.
And to a certain degree, Bill, and we didn't, and nor should we, and I think we did the right thing, bringing this to the people about Ted and what we saw. I think at one point, I mean, you could tell things were deteriorating with Ted. If you played an interview of Ted kind of when he first got to Green Bay.
Right.
An interview of Ted, you know, in the past couple years, the sound was completely different. We know something happened to him. The Green Bay Packers, in other ways, kind of have let that go on too long. And then that's why you see the product, too, that you see out on the field right now, is because they just didn't hold Ted feet to the fire. No one really wanted to go in and tell him that you got to go. You can't do this anymore. And so that's why, if you look at the talent that they have, that's why they're in the position that they're in right now, talent-wise.
855-830-8648. Let's go to Joel listening to us on the south side. Joel, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
McCarthy needs to go, and this is frustrating. This team is so undisciplined. They started the game off with an offsides on the kickoff. The special teams has been a disaster. They had a roughing the punter call. What this game did is it answered the question for me as to who the GOAT is, and it's 12 for Green Bay. Because you see what he has to overcome every single week. There's no creativity, and it's blatantly obvious when you watch this game, because then on the other side, you get a flea flicker that leads to a plus play, a receiver pass that leads to a plus play, an end-around, two end-arounds. And it's just guys running wide open constantly, which Rodgers doesn't get. Brady's not the GOAT. He's like a cook at McDonald's.
Let me just say this to you. Do you remember when we had Eddie Lacy here?
Yeah,
Do you remember the first? Do you remember the first time you really saw Randall Cobb at running back?
Right.
And I think the point that stood out in my mind is Randall Cobb at running back when they played New England. I think that was in Green Bay. And I can remember that game where people were screaming at Mike McCarthy because Randall Cobb was taking carries away from Eddie Lacy. People were screaming at Mike McCarthy because he had Randall Cobb in the backfield. Mm-hmm. And they were throwing passes to him out of the backfield. But now everybody is ranting, raving about this Tariq Hill and the Cohen kid down in Chicago. That's all the same stuff that Mike McCarthy used to do with Randall Cobb. Well, Randall Cobb no longer can do it because they don't have a player like that anymore. But those are all the things that Mike McCarthy used to do at Randall Cobb that we vilified
Mike McCarthy on. Yeah. The difference was that he would put Randall Cobb back there once, run some kind of goofy flea flicker, and you knew it was coming because that's the only time he put him in.
Right.
And it was obvious.
But it was a goofy flea flicker that people want right now. That's what they want.
Something.
They want the flea flicker.
Although I'll say
they
this.
They want the reverse. They want the pass. That's what they want.
When you run the ball,
but he was, that's what he was doing.
Consistently with, say, Aaron Jones, you get the running back core tonight, you know, other than the fumble, obviously, 21 carries, 110 yards. It's not a bad night at the office for the combination of Jones and Williams. Jones gets 14 carries thus far, and Williams was 7.
But you had the one fumble.
You had the one fumble.
And that kills
you. And it did. But, you know, there was a whole drive where Jones didn't even see the field midway through the second quarter. This doesn't make sense.
So I said, Bill, that to me what should happen, the roles, and I thought it would be a little bit better because Ty Montgomery is gone. Aaron Jones should be your primary ball carrier.
I believe that.
And Jamal Williams should be your short yardage and goal line back. Now, if you need to spell Aaron Jones because he's getting tired, then you get Jamal in there. But he should be your guy. 33 should be your guy that's getting the bulk of the carries. I mean, that to me, there's just really no ifs, ands about that. And Jamal Williams, to his credit, if you want, he should be your short yardage and goal line guy, because if he comes in at third and one, he's your better pass blocker than Aaron Jones. You could still throw the ball with him, or you could still have a threat or run the ball. There just seemed to be no rhyme or reason why Mike is interchanging these guys out the way he's doing it.
And then there was a couple of times. I mean, look at it this way. The Patriots were beat up, missing offensive linemen, missing defensive players, and missing Gronk, mm-hmm. and they still went out there and just kicked your ass.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did.
You know, it just...
Well, you know, credit to Mike Patton. I mean,
in the beginning, he just held tough. He died. Now, they got shredded on that opening drive easily.
They didn't know what was coming.
But they had no idea.
They had no clue.
But it's...
But they rallied, made some adjustments.
They
have simply run out of players.
And then, yeah, when they started to make moves, and then you get a player ejected, you get a couple of guys hurt, suddenly you're back to, you can't match up the way you did.
Simply run out of players.
And all of a sudden, you're just starting to run out of guys. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. 8648, if you want to chime in, do it. First score of the game, by the way, Mason Crosby put the Packers on the board. Take a listen.
Crosby, 29-yarder, right down the middle with 5:05 to go in the opening quarter.
There you go. That's brought to you by the Bryant & Stratton College Bobcat Athletics. They are offering scholarships in 12 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. That's bscbobcats.com. Back to the phone calls. Talk to, Alex. Alex, listening to us in Tennessee. Alex, how you doing tonight, man? What's going on?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing well. What's up?
Good. So I got a few things on my mind. First, and Billy, I think you're going to like this. I'm pretty optimistic about where we're at. What really concerns me is Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he's played well. You can look at his stats. I think he's got like 17 touchdowns, one interception. That's great, but he's not playing as well as he usually does. You know, you look at his quarterback rating right now. No, that's not a great stat, but it's in the 90s, and that's not where Aaron Rodgers statistically plays quarterback at, and we're not going to be successful if he plays that way. Follow-up to that, I really like what our defense is doing. I know they gave up 31 points tonight. We put them in some really tough positions throughout the game, and they were resilient. Everyone's hurt for us again, as usual, and they remain resilient. I think we're right on the edge of being where we need to be defensively. And if you look at our game, every half this year, except for tonight, we've held teams to less than 10 points in at least one half, and obviously the Buffalo game, they didn't score. And then finally, my question for you guys, in the first half, and I think these are the little things that lose us games, obviously not tonight, we lost by two scores, but the little things that lose us games, there's a play to Devontae Adams on 2nd and 8. It was an incomplete pass, but they called it a catch. Belichick challenged the play. We didn't hurry up to the line. I think if there's a controversial call like that, you got to have a play in your back pocket where you just, you know, Roger says fire, 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 and you go and you run, you know, a dive play right away so that you're not in a 3rd and 8 situation. Now, granted, we score a touchdown on the drive, but overall, I think you got to make those little adjustments, those little things win you games. What do you guys think?
I appreciate the phone call. Rodgers is pretty smart.
Yeah.
If he thinks there's something like that coming, he usually gathers them at the line of scrimmage. I'll tell you what, little things like that. Yes,
there are some of those things that are happening.
There are one of the little things that they do when it comes to clock management. I have no idea. This continues to be again mm-hmm. tonight. They also had a delay of game penalty again, and they also had to take a timeout because the clock's running out.
And you're so tired of talking about it, Bill. I see you. You talk about it every year.
It's every year, after year, and they are listed as the worst clock management team in the National Football League, and it doesn't get any better. And somebody asked me tonight, was that the taking of a timeout? Was that on Rodgers or was that on McCarthy? And I don't know how quickly the play is getting in.
Right,
I don't know about the personnel package, which I'd love to know. But I'll tell you what, quarterback's got to know. You're watching the clock. It's right there in front of you.
Right in front of you. And clearly what we do know, Bill, is the play is in and Rodgers is trying to change it.
He's trying to change it or change personnel or settings or grouping. I get it.
We do know that.
So it's mind-boggling how bad this – now, tonight I specifically paid attention to them – snapping the ball and at what point in time. Mm-hmm. A lot of times tonight, it was right around 10 or 7.
Yeah.
They were getting the ball off quicker, but there was just a couple of times tonight where, again, you're running it down and running it down and running it down, and you're watching.
One time they didn't know where to line up.
Correct.
I think he called a timeout on that one.
But it was they've gotten better at it this week, but again, tonight, a delay of game penalty, and you had to take a timeout, which you could have used here in the second half of this ballgame. You had to take a timeout because you were about ready to watch the clock expire. 855-830-8648. Packers lose. It's over. We want to get your reaction to this. As the Packers went into, I really thought they were going to get a win. I thought coming out of L.A. that they were going to have a ball of steam and go in and just have things clicking on all cylinders. And clearly this offense still does not have it going. 31-17, the final. We're talking about it. If a line becomes available. Yeah, go ahead.
Did you watch the Saints?
I did. That is a well-oiled machine, man, offensively speaking.
What makes it look good to you?
Because
it does, doesn't it?
What's
the difference?
The difference to me is that, one, Drew Brees gets rid of the damn ball. Two, the guys, I watch route runners, they are as crisp gets. Tonight, it wasn't like everybody wasn't crisp, but Jimmy Graham doesn't run a crisp route. Mercedes Lewis is like watching, he's dragging a beer barrel down behind him.
Right.
Kendricks can't catch a ball to save his life.
Right.
If there's anybody
but
in his face,
right.
he's going to drop it.
It's gone.
It's three steps gone.
I was listening to Jesse
Brady
Palmer.
Brady does that. I watched Brady do it tonight.
Jesse Palmer.
Yeah.
Played for the Giants. I think he was a backup quarterback. Sean Payton was with the Giants. I think he has an offensive coordinator at one point. And so Sean Payton was one of the – he said that Sean Payton, if they go through their progressions, and if the first guy's open, you have to throw to the first guy open right now.
Right.
He said, Sean Payton, if you would not throw to the first guy in your progression, if you would pass him up, trying to go deep, you could not play for Sean Payton. He drilled it into your brain – is 1, 2, 3 gone. Here's your read. Here's where it's going.
Yep.
You're not looking deep, coming back down. Your progression is short, medium, and then long.
Yep.
If you're not doing that, you can't play for Sean Payton. That struck a chord with me because that's not Aaron Rodgers.
No.
And that's what you saw out of Drew Brees. And you're right. That's what you see out of Tom Brady.
It is You saw it out of Tom Brady tonight, especially on that first drive. It's 1-2 gone.
They took one shot deep to, I think, Gordon? Yes, Josh Gordon. And he overthrew him.
Right.
But I think that just show you that, hey, Josh Gordon can run fast.
That was so we can open things up.
But everything else was underneath.
The other thing that I saw was numerous plays in which the Packers were in zone coverage and they always had somebody running a guy off and then left a guy open up under the middle.
Yeah.
They were crushing the middle of the field tonight. 8-5, and they were going after
Orton. There was a couple plays that Devonta Adams was short, wide open, and I'm like, who is he looking at?
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. We've seen this a lot. 855-830-8648. We'll be back. More of your phone calls coming up next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
How about we be the better guys for once?
Where did this one turn?
Rodgers with it.
It's time for the Aurora Healthcare Orthopedics Turning Point of the Game.
This is the Turning Point of the Game, presented by Aurora Sports Health. Advanced care to get you back to doing the things you love. Find a sports health provider and make an appointment at aurora.org.
It's not what you wanted. 31-17. I thought the Packers would come in there and get a win, but they did not. They go to 3-4-1 on the season. The Patriots go to 7-2, and they just pick up where they left off from last year, and they continue to win football games in big ways. And not the way the Packers wanted to come back to Lambeau Field. Gary Ellison alongside. It's the Green and Gold postgame show brought to you by Palermo's. And time now for the turning point of the game. And this was, yet again this week, another fumble.
Now the pressure numbers have kind of flipped here in the second half.
In this drive, the Patriots turn around. The ball is out. Jones fumbles it. At the 23-yard line, the Patriots. At the bottom of the pile, pretty sure they have it. And it looked that way with the naked eye.
There you go. That's the turning point of the game, brought to you by Aurora Sports Health Advanced Care, to get you back to doing the things you love. Find a sports health provider near you and make an appointment at aurora.org. That is aurora.org. All the actualities brought to you by our friends over at NBC. Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth on the call tonight. Let's get back to the phone calls. Talk to, let's see here, it's Anthony in Milwaukee. Anthony, how you doing tonight, man? What's going on?
Well, I'm not doing so great. And, you know, that fumble kind of touches on what we were talking about, a bunch of us watching the game. The Packers are having one of those seasons where things just aren't going their way. When they get a break, you know, they make a big play, then they seem to turn around and they do something that kind of cancels that out. And football seems to be like that. Teams will have seasons where they just seem to get a series of breaks, and if they play well and stay healthy, that can accumulate into, you know, a lot of wins for a football team. The Packers are not getting breaks. Started with Rodgers getting hurt and playing hobbled all year. But I wanted to focus on, you know, you guys have been touching on a whole bunch of things about the offense, play calling, Aaron. I want to try to get through this quickly, but I wanted to express the frustration of a bunch of people that were in with me tonight. I'm hearing the same thing over and over again. McCarthy's offense looks stale. They can't score when they're in the red zone, yet they've got all these skill players, and they've got Aaron Rodgers, and they've mostly had a healthy offensive line this year. Mostly Aaron Rodgers has an opportunity to make plays. Now, you can say when the plays work, the play caller looks like a genius. Bill, you always say that.
Yep.
It's true. When they execute, the play caller looks like a genius. When they work, when they don't, he looks like a bum. The truth is always somewhere in the middle, guys. We all know that. You can't blame just the coach, just the O-line, just the quarterback. But here's our thing tonight. Everyone was saying McCarthy's lost the edge he had in 2010, 2011. This team used to look like the Patriots looked in that first drive tonight. They used to run a quick strike offense. They used to have that hurry-up offense in their pocket, and the Packers would pull it out in the middle of the game. And they have two plays called, and they have this kind of energy and this sense of urgency that the Packers offense hasn't seemed to have had for several years. Here's what I want to end on. Why is it so hard for Mike McCarthy to get a play called? Why does he bumble clock management so much when he's been a coach for more than a decade? And why can't they execute a play faster than they do, guys? Every single play takes them down to 1 second left on the play clock. I don't understand what's happened to the offense. Now they've got Joe Philbin back, and he's the guy who ran that offense in 2011 when they were scoring 40 and 50 a game, blowing teams off the field. They've regressed offensively. It seems to be McCarthy at the center of that. Everyone was saying, McCarthy's got to go, McCarthy's got to go. Can you answer why it's taking them so long to get plays called and why there's no sense of urgency?
Anthony, appreciate that. We kind of talked about that in the opening statement of the program, where tonight they were better at getting the ball off. I mean, I paid specific attention to it. But, Gary, like we talked about, when you have to take a delay of game penalty early on, that puts you in position, then you have to take a field goal over possibly getting a touchdown. And in addition to that, you actually have to take a timeout because of it. This is something that's not just today. This has been something that's been constant for the last couple of years. And do you think it is almost unfathomable to me for a quarterback of Aaron Rodgers' ilk to do things in spite of?
No, I think he's trying to be a perfectionist. And so Mike calls the play, and then he's got to call it. Then now play comes in. Now Rodgers got to call a play. And then the defense then changed the play, and then it just keeps going.
Yeah.
Aaron just got to get to a play, call it, and feel good about it and go with him. You're never going to get into the perfect play. And I think to Aaron Rodgers' credit, yes, he's trying to get into the perfect play, but sometimes that just never really happens.
Tonight's injuries, you got Brian Bulaga. He ended up leaving the ball game. He had a knee. Kentrell Bryce with a knee. Blake Martinez did come back, but he had an ankle sprain. Kevin King, he's got a hamstring. And don't forget, Whitehead was ejected from this game, so they had a tough one tonight. That's brought to you by our friends at Luigi's. Luigi's Frozen Pizza. Pizza tastes fresh, guaranteed. I'm telling you, it's available at most quality grocery stores and taverns throughout Wisconsin. Make sure, just like yours truly, you make it Luigi's. L-U-I-G-E-S. Luigi's Frozen Pizza. Packers taking on the chin tonight. We're talking about it. Stay tuned. We got a lot more of the Green and Gold postgame show coming up next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Packers game is over, and now it's time to break this one down. This is the Palermo Screaming Sicilian Pizza Green and Gold Postgame Show. Now, live from the International Hyundai West Dallas Studios, here's the big unit, Bill Michaels.
31-17, Packers on the wrong end of that score. They fall at Gillette Stadium to the New England Patriots, and the Battle of Goats really wasn't much of a battle. Aaron Rodgers, not great tonight. Threw the ball 43 times, again throwing over 40 passes, 24 of 43, 259 yards, sacked one time and under pressure quite often, a couple of touchdowns, 89.2 quarterback rating. Meanwhile, Tom Brady, 22 of 35, much more balanced. They ran the ball today 31 times, minus Brady's five scrambles. You would say that it ended up with, 26 times, actually. But 26 carries tonight for the Patriots, 35 pass plays, 22 of 35, 294. Yeah, sacked a couple of times, one touchdown, a 99 quarterback rating. Gary Ellerson alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. And this is not the way we wanted to see this thing go. And, man, I said that this game was a big game. And people said, well, it doesn't mathematically eliminate them. No, it doesn't. But it proves that they can't beat good teams. They can't beat good teams on the road. They've got some real problems offensively. It's not clicking. The defense, God love them, at least they go out and try. And tonight was not a great effort. But they're about a mid-range defense. They're not a top 15. They're not a top 10. They're about a 15 defense.
Yeah, because they don't have any talent. I mean, they don't have any real.
They don't have that
they don't
guy.
Have that guy over there.
Yeah, I think they've got some talent in the secondary, and I think we'll
see how that shapes out.
I think it's good. I just again, Kevin King with a hamstring. You know, that guy can't stand on the field to save his life.
You don't know what you got.
So I think he's quality, but he, you know, it gets to the point where you just say, you know what, you can't depend on him anymore. You can't even run him out there. You know, I think Jair Alexander is really solid.
Yeah.
I really like what he brings to the table.
I thought he'd take a step back this game, but he played well.
Josh Jones, if you make him think, you're going to get him. Mm-hmm. If he can just come after you, he's going to get you.
Right.
He likes to hit. He likes to tackle. He was good at that tonight. Exactly as billed. But you know, Blake Martinez can't be on slot receivers. You know, he can't do that. That's not his game. Even though Blake Martinez, I give him credit, man. He had that ankle sprain, came back and played. And I guess you have to do it if Aaron Rodgers comes back with that knee injury after halftime of that Bears game and then plays every game after that. So, but it just, it's, this is the beginning of, and I hate to say this because I'm not the eternal pessimist usually, but this is kind of the beginning of the end, I think.
No, it is.
Unless I see some dramatic improvement offensively. No, we're eight games in.
Yeah, that's what you're seeing, buddy.
You know,
you're right. That's where we're at.
You're not the offense isn't suddenly going to start showing up and averaging 35 a game.
And listen, here's what gave you, and I hate doing the beginning and the end, but here's what gave you a look inside of the Green Bay Packers. I did a radio interview the other day for some people in Baltimore, and the first question the guy asked me, he goes, "Gary, are you surprised that the Packers were sellers and not buyers?" I never thought about it. And I go, yeah, that's right. They didn't get anything back from Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. They didn't get anything back from Ty Montgomery.
No.
Not a body. Nothing.
They were in the mix for Dante Fowler.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Didn't get him.
You got you
there were some talks about Khalil Mack.
Yeah,
and didn't get him.
You didn't get him. You got nothing back. So that's almost kind of a red flag there into kind of where they're going. I mean, they're pushing this into next year and maybe the year after with Aaron Rodgers is what they're doing. Gutekunst's got all these draft picks now that he's trying to – I mean, I know the Rays got a bunch too, but he's going to be loaded with some high draft picks. Maybe he trades them. I don't know what he does. Maybe they rebuild and they do this thing all over again. And – the rebuild bill kind of – I hate doing the rebuild, but it kind of came about when you look at the draft picks that are left from 2013 to 2015. A lot of people have made note of this.
There's only three.
It's out there. When you're doing that, that's a lot of guys that you got to go and replace. And they're not on this team. And so that's what you're doing. They have to replenish this organization is what they're doing right now. You got nobody's. Okay, Dante Fowler. They go, you know what? Do I really want to roll a dice on a guy with a one-year contract? And if I really don't want to re-sign him, I give up a third and what, a third and a fifth? I think they gave third and seventh or something like that. And then he's a knucklehead. But I'm getting rid of knuckleheads. I want to bring another one in my locker room that I'm already getting rid of. Then I got to pay him a boatload of money. They decided against it. Okay, fine. So, but what you did was I think what you're doing, Bill, you're telling folks that this is sort of kind of a rebuild, isn't it? You didn't bring nothing back.
I
get the old addition by subtraction. That's a new phrase they're using right now. But I mean, if you look at the numbers, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, I think, was the third best safety in the NFL.
That's the way he was rated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got nothing back. Where you go from there?
You got what you thought you would get in free agency when you let him go. You got what you thought would be a fourth-round draft choice.
Correct.
And the Ty Montgomery pick was we want him out of here, we'll take anything Bye. For him. So that's what that was. 855-830-8648. Okay, let's go right to the top. Let's go to Bill in Tulsa. Bill, welcome to the program, man. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. And Gary, you sort of hit it on the head. This team looks like it's in rebuilding mode right now. And as long as we're going to go into rebuilding mode and be sellers, we need to start at the top. This falls with Mark Murphy for not seeing that Ted Thompson put this team in a hole, for over 2 years. You got a coach who, quite frankly, has no respect on the national scene at all, if you listen to any national programs this week at all. And quite frankly, Bill, I said this last week, I'm going to say it again. Aaron Rodgers is a problem with this defense or with this offense. It is the same thing every time. Drop back and look for a deep ball first. Don't take the check down. Sit forever trying to get into the perfect play. Look at what Gary said about New Orleans. Look at the Rams offense. Look at the high-powered offenses in this league. It's 1-2-3, get the ball out and go. I mean, we had a hurry-up offensive drive with 6 minutes left and ran it down to 3 minutes and went nowhere. This is insanity. It's nobody criticizes Aaron Rodgers, but when Mike Sherman was here and Brett Favre was calling him Mike and everything else, Gary, you were all over the radio about a lack of respect for a coach. And if this isn't a lack of respect for a coach similar to what we had with Brett Favre, then what is it?
No, it is.
Because you know what? He gets a pass every single game, and his best games this year have been the Bear game and the other comeback where he had to get rid of the ball under the clock, period. When he sits back there, he puts other guys out to dry. You lost your right tackle. Get rid of the ball.
Yeah.
Period.
Yep. Yep. No, I agree. Appreciate the phone call.
Love it.
Appreciate the phone call.
Love it.
But Bill,
you've been talking about this for a while.
I've been saying it, and people crucify me because you can't touch Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
The same way when I said I had come into the state in '99 and started working with the Packers, and I just had a criticism. I'm talking about the interceptions, and I said, "Has anybody tried to wrangle this guy?" I mean, I was talking about the interception for Brett Favre. I had death threats. How dare you come into this state and not talk about Brett Favre? Shut up! It's a fact. I'm not ripping a guy to rip the guy.
It's the truth.
There's certain aspects of the game that you need to fix. You know,
Bill is going to have multiple plans for you.
I do. My plan is to shut up and play better football.
Right.
You know, I mean, look, we all know Aaron Rodgers is smart. I'm not criticizing his talent.
Exactly.
What I'm saying is there is times the way the game is managed that are erroneous, and what we can see it. And I always look forward to Tuesday in the All-22. I love the film. I love the game film, and I can look at it. And that's the reason I posted last week that end zone play. Where they took the safety, where Marquez Valdes-Scantling is wide open. I mean, before they even snapped the ball.
And what did they do?
And
this
he
game?
Looks at him.
What did they do this game?
They did the exact same play. The exact same play. Marquez Valdez, but the Patriots had the guy about
well,
2 yards
Adams,
off him.
I think split out to the left this time.
I got to look at it again because I thought to myself, I'm screaming, oh my
same
God, they're doing the exact same play. Exact same play. By the way, it was a run play. The rush of the game, the Palermo's Screaming Sicilian Pizza rush of the game. It's brought to you by the Palermo's Pizza. Palermo's people, they bring you the Screaming Sicilian premium frozen products and great craft pizzas. The biggest rush of the game, Aaron Jones. Take a listen.
And so they expect Jones to handle most of the workload. Talented kid. The outside he goes, and he shows some talent right there by staying in bounds, picking up the first down and a few more.
There you go. That's from NBC, Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, the Palermo Screaming Sicilian rush of the game. Back to the phone calls. And let's go. Well, our buddy Ty in Philadelphia's on hold. Ty, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
This is it. You.
Far as what I've seen tonight, I got to agree with Gary. The most glaring thing he said is, is this team in rebuilding mode for not getting anything back? And it's obvious. And then what another thing that puts you in behind the eight ball with these type of circumstances is that the teams that you're competing with are getting better. The Bears got Khalil Mack and hurt Rodgers in the first game of the season. The Rams, got Fowler and all these old other players. They definitely in flux. There's definitely turnover. I know a couple of people that won't be back next year. Randall Cobb will not be back.
Yeah,
Clay Matthews will not be back.
Yep.
Nick Perry will not be back. Mike McCarthy will not be back. You will have a whole new offensive staff next year and a head coach next year. So that's the bad thing. You're still relying on youth. Kevin King can't stay healthy. That's why you should have sent picks to Arizona for Patrick Peterson if you could have. But they got eight games. If they go anything less than 7-1, I don't know. We all should go crazy. 7-1. The only game that they should lose, but they can't lose, is that Minnesota game. They better win every last one of these eight games. And if they lose that Minnesota game, they're going to be fighting for their life to get a wild card spot. And they're going to lose in the second round anyway. Because
they're not going to
New Orleans.
They're not a Super Bowl team.
Absolutely not. I'll listen to you guys. Yeah. Great to see you back, Gary. Yeah.
Thank you, buddy.
And we'll see what the Packers are made of in these last eight games.
Appreciate it. There he goes. That's Ty from Philly. By the way, all the talk about Nick Perry, he's not going anywhere. They're not cutting him loose.
Well,
They'll owe him $11.5 million.
Yeah. I think what they can do is
renegotiate it.
Ask him to take a pay cut. I think that's what's going to happen.
Because after next year, then he only counts for 7.4 against the cap, which gives you a little bit breathing space. But
then again, the way this thing is going, that may be one of the players they just eat.
Yeah.
What do we get?
But if you cut him loose, it's almost $11.5 million you're going to owe the guy.
Yeah, eat it.
So
that's
I don't know if they're going to cut him loose.
That's not business. That's not good business for the Packers. They've never done anything like that. But
he's terrible.
You're not getting anything from him.
No, he shows up every now and then.
Nothing.
That's it. I mean, there's nothing on the guy.
And I don't know how you bring that guy back in your locker room. I'm not trying to. I hate doing this stuff like this. But he's bringing nothing to the table. You're paying him that kind of money.
Right.
It's another contract.
Bad deal by Ted.
Yes, that they got into that it overpaid a guy.
Bad deal by Ted.
I mean, if you didn't have him, you could have then signed Khalil Mack.
Think of this. The deal for Clay Matthews is well as Clay has played this season.
That was a good deal for them.
It wasn't a bad deal, but do you think Bill Belichick would have ever given him that second big contract?
No, because he lets those guys go.
That's right. He keeps that money. If he makes a mistake in 2 years, he cuts them loose. And you don't die on
those
things. Who
do they have on defense, Bill? The Patriots.
They just get it done. You know what I mean?
I think Flowers may be their best player.
Trey Flowers? Yeah. Well, I mean, Dante Hightower.
He's slow.
He had a decent year years ago, but
I mean, I'd rather have Martinez than him.
Yeah. What is it? Adrian Claiborne? They got him from Atlanta.
Nothing. Gilmore?
Patrick Chung. You know, Devin McCourty.
Secondary may be nice.
Devin McCourty.
The secondary is probably nice.
Yeah.
McCourty.
But D linemen and linebackers, there's not a whole lot there.
No. They picked up that kid from Cleveland, Danny Shelton. He's a backup.
Yeah,
I mean, there's nobody. That defense is very gettable.
But what they can do offensively is hold on to the football.
Right.
You got Kyle Van Noy.
Van Noy, you can outrun Kyle Van Noy, dude.
They picked him up from Detroit, right?
But he's always in the right spot.
Yep. Yep. Well, so was A.J. Hawk, and everybody wanted to kill him.
Well, yeah. They didn't like A.J. Hawk.
855-830-8648. Let's go to Roger listening to us in Cudahy. Roger, how you doing, man? What's going on? Oh, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and then we'll get Roger and then let's a cast of thousands all on hold. Stay tuned. More of the Green and Gold Postgame Show right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Sometimes you gotta stick, and sometimes you gotta hit. Let's find out the hit of the game. Sponsored by Boilermakers107.com. Building and rebuilding America for over 225 years.
Welcome back. 31-17. Packers get knocked off by the Patriots, and this is taking the wrong road when you come to a fork in the road.
Which way did they go, Bill?
They are now heading in the wrong direction. We had a big discussion on Thursday night, a terrific discussion about this. Kevin Holden and Christina Tuso and myself, because I looked at both sides of this, and I'll get to this in a minute, but this, to me, was a big game other than just being a big game between Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. I'll tell you why coming up momentarily. Hit of the game, by the way, brought to you by the Boilermakers, Local 107. Building and rebuilding America, over 225 years. Check out their apprenticeship opportunities, Boilermakers107.com. Mike Daniels comes up big. Take a listen.
Double A blitz look with both those inside linebackers up, and they both drop out.
And Brady's going to go down. He gets sacked at the 33-yard line.
There you go. That's it. The exciting call by one Al Michaels. That was right up there with the Tom Brenneman calls that we get every now and then on Fox, but that one was on NBC, and that's the hit of the game. Again, brought to you by the Boilermakers, Local 107. I'll get to the phone calls momentarily, but when we were talking about this on Thursday night, Gary, this is, if they win tonight, they would have validated what they did in L.A. Then they could have said, we can compete with anybody, and we can win on the road. We can compete with the big boys. We are a legitimate team. We're heading in the right direction. Here's our confidence, and off we go. And the moves that they have made in getting rid of Ty Montgomery and Ha-Ha Clinton Dix and bringing in the youth and everything starting to come together, you would figure, okay, all of this gets validated. Now you're sitting there saying, we can't beat the big boys. We can't win on the road. We've got problems because our offense, which is supposed to be the strength of this team, can't move the football. And when they do, they shoot themselves in the foot. They lose again with undisciplined plays. You know, you start now to really look at the head coach. If you believe if you believe there's any question at all about Mike McCarthy, the mere appearance of impropriety gets you fired. Now you got to fire him because you got to do it now. If you're going to do it, you got to do it now because you only have so many years of Aaron Rodgers left. So you're going to have to turn it around right now. Now do you throw the baby out with the bathwater and get rid of Pettin and everybody too that you just brought in?
You don't know.
So you don't know about that. So, and then the biggest thing about all of this is you still need offensive line depth. You still need a pass rusher. You got to get an extra. I don't know if Warren Burks is going to be the real deal or not. You got to get another linebacker. And you've got to get it all with the right head coach who's got to be an offensive-minded guy like a Sean McVay right now. Because otherwise, your next hire, you're going to give him at least a couple of years, right? Mm-hmm. So you give your guy a couple of years. If he's bad, you live with two more years of bad. So that means you've blown the last 2-3 years of this deal. To me, if you're going to do it, you got to do it now.
Yeah, I don't.
At the end of the season,
yeah, I don't disagree with you. But but
this begins this loss tonight to me begins a big change in the Green Bay Packers organization.
Well, they're going to ride it out. Obviously,
they'll ride it out. But at the end of the season, I think we're still going to see changes.
For me, it's 11-25, and that's the telltale sign for me, because 11-25 is. The Packers play the Vikings.
Right.
And then they play the Falcons. And then they play the Seahawks. And then they got the Cardinals. And then they got the Bears. Now, that's not really saying much because I don't think they're a Super Bowl team. But when you're playing teams on the other side, it does tell you that when you're right that they're not there. I mean, you're right about that. But if you're looking to get to the playoffs, the Packer team still can make the playoffs.
Yeah.
But they're one and done. Okay, fine. You're still going to be right where you are. You know what this team is. You know they just don't have enough talent. And still, everything that you say is probably going to happen.
You're 3-4-1 with problematic offensive play.
Yes, you're done
at the midpoint of the season.
Yeah, this thing needs to. They need to hit the refresh button. I'm okay with it, and they need to get an offensive guy in here that Aaron Rodgers is going to listen to, or this guy tell Aaron Rodgers, "This is my team, not yours."
Well, this is my team. We're going to work together,
right? Because that meeting going to have to happen,
right?
It just is.
Let's go to Roger listening to us in Cudahy. Roger, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Well, yeah, I guess my head is spinning after this game. So many thoughts are going around, but I mean, just a thought. I have to think the national audience, especially if anyone watched the Rams in New Orleans, were greatly disappointed in terms of the team and quarterback play. I watched four or five quarterbacks better than two guys that were playing out there tonight. But I think you're right. I hate to use the term beginning of the end. But in reality, I think the rebuild will mostly has to be around the defense. And as a fan, it's going to be hard to tolerate them winning any meaningless games when their draft choice, at least their draft choice, if they package them, they're going to be the higher one. And so I'm hoping for nothing better than 6-9-1 and a higher draft choice. Because if you're going to rebuild, you got to package the two you get this year and get a pass rusher, I think.
I appreciate the phone call, Roger. Let's get to Jim listening to us in Chicago. Jim, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable night tonight. Quick shout out to my buddy Tony, who's listening to us on the radio.com app up in there in the Twin Cities. But you know what? I think what you guys have been saying is just spot on. And, you know, that Aaron Jones fumble is kind of the turning point for not only the season, but the organization. And you know what? Mike's been with us for 13 years. And he's done some nice things, but his message is getting old. And I think that unless we go 7-1 over the last 8 games of the season, we're not going to see McCarthy back again next year. And it's just time to move on. I mean,
let me ask you this: What saved Sean Payton's job in New Orleans? Why? Because they went a couple years, I think, without getting to the playoffs. I think they went 7-9 a couple years.
Greg Williams was suspended.
These are kind of parallel.
It came out of Bounty Gate. Guys were let go. They had players that went off into free agency. They had some bad drafts, and it seemed like it was all about to unravel. And then they made the trade when they said, okay, we're going to get rid of Jimmy Graham. We're going to bring in a better offensive line. They were going to bring in a better offensive line. And they were going to begin to kind of build from within because they had lost some pieces. Because their defense was lights out, remember?
Yeah.
And they lost some pieces on defense.
Well, Greg Williams was there, wasn't he? Yeah.
Right, because remember, he was the Bounty Gate guy.
Yeah.
And then after that, they started to get pieces in place, and they made a couple of deals, and then they bumped up in the draft a couple of times, and then they rebuilt it all over again.
Thanks for your phone call.
Gary, they had 3 straight years where they went 7-9, 2014, 2015, 2016.
I remember Sean Payton was suspended for part of that.
And he survived that.
Well, Payton had the 7-9 year, I think, where he was gone was 2012. That was Bounty Gate.
2012.
Yeah.
And so he survived all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then here's what, in my opinion, you know what saved him? I asked you a question, and I kind of know the answer. Kamara and Lattimore.
Mm-hmm.
They had 2 rookies of the year, one on offense,
one on defense. Yeah.
And then, boom.
Ryan Ramczyk, too, on their offensive line.
Back.
Also got in that draft.
Yep.
Yeah. That draft saved them, and now they're back. And that That can happen to the Green Bay Packers.
Well, if you have a draft with all pros.
With Aaron Rodgers. Yes, you got to hit.
That's the big thing. And this was a point that Collinsworth made a couple of weeks ago with the Packers. I was watching. And he said, look, if you're going to be a top 10 defense, you have to have an all pro almost at every level.
Yeah.
A D lineman, a linebacker of some sort, a safety, or a corner. At every level. You got to have an all pro if you're going to have that defense.
Right. That Camaro draft, who was it? What draft was that for them? Who else did they get in that draft? Was that 2 years ago?
No, that was last year.
That was last year.
Yeah, he had Camaro.
He wasn't their first pick, though, right? Camaro wasn't.
No, he was like a third round pick.
Okay.
But they had Ramchek in that draft. They had Lattimore. I mean, they hit on like three of their first four picks.
Okay. And they became Pro Bowlers.
Yeah.
Well, they had who was the other cat? Their guard. Was a first rounder and is still a starter for them in 2015, I think, 2016. What's his name? Pete?
I don't know.
He was a solid guy. They needed to upgrade their offensive line. They picked up Pete because, remember, he was getting hell beat out of him, Drew Brees was.
And so Sean Payton then, to get it straight, he's only have one Super Bowl, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
2009. That was the last time.
Yeah, because he won it before McCarthy won it.
So what's the difference?
Well, this team's now back on the uptick, and the Packers feel like they're falling apart.
Right, but he had 379.
They picked up that kid, Cameron Jordan. They picked him up in 2011. He's still playing for them. They picked up recently Marcus Williams, the second rounder. He's playing for them. He's a starter. You mentioned Lattimore. He's a starter.
Yeah.
Kamara, he's a starter. Now, he was last year as well. Joe mentioned Ramchek. He's a starter. Andres Pete is 2015 first round. He's a starter. And then they made some deals. They picked up Max Unger. Remember, he was part of the Jimmy Graham trade.
Yeah.
And he was the guy that kind of anchored that part of the Jimmy Graham trade because Drew Brees was getting a hell beat out of it.
Right.
So once they got that solidified, they started to say, okay, we'll rebuild that defense. And they started to concentrate there. Because that Marcus Davenport was the guy they picked up this year first round of the draft.
And that was the Packers. But, yeah, Bill, here's the thing. They still had 3 years where they were 7-9. And I get it. The groundswell here is just so big. I think it's time for Mike to go. But most certainly, if the Packers would go 7-9 for 3 years in a row, what it would be like. They hadn't even done that.
There's actually been five seasons
with Sean Payton.
With Sean Payton where they've gone 7-9.
Five?
Five.
Kidding me?
But here's the other thing, Katrina. When Katrina hit, Sean Payton and Drew Brees led the charge to help people. And there's a giant sentimental area in people's hearts for those two guys. And they get a long rope down there right now.
I could get down.
That goes a long way, man. That goes a long way. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be back. We got more of the Green and Gold Postgame Show after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
What about the next opponent?
Prepare to fast forward.
How will Green Bay game plan for this one?
Prepare to fast forward.
Fast forward.
Fast forwarding, sir.
Time for some forward thinking. Sponsored by Forward Financial Partners. Moving forward together. Find your way forward at ffpwi.com.
Welcome back. Packers get knocked off. Not the best of fashion either. 31-17, they got beat by the New England Patriots. A big fumble cost them. And we'll get into the forward aspect of this as the Packers now have to regroup. Come back, Lambeau Field next week before they head back out on the road for two more, one against Seattle and one against the Minnesota Vikings. They have the Miami Dolphins coming into – I don't think the temperature is supposed to get out of the 30s next week, so at least Miami's coming into a cold Lambeau Field. But Gary Ellison alongside, I'm Bill Michaels. They've lost back-to-back road games against really, really good teams. We knew this was going to be a tough stretch, Gary. So moving forward, real quick, I guess, you know, when you get back, what is it? You know, because things just aren't functioning well right now. And you've been on a team that just all of a sudden you look at things and you say, this ain't working.
Well, I think for them, you just keep fighting. I mean, you just keep going, keep grinding it out. And for Mike McCarthy, for the coaches, the younger players that they have to play now, you hope the young players can learn from the mistakes that they're making and they get better, because really that's where you're at. You're looking at the three young receivers getting better. I think you look at MVS, that's most certainly a positive thing for them. If you're looking at Aaron Jones, I still think although he had the fumble, it's still a bright spot for them. So that's what you're kind of looking at moving forward is the younger guys that can learn to play a bigger role for this team in the future. You look at Blake Martinez, you look at how he's playing. I mean, he's an ascending player that you have out there. Mike Daniels, I mean, you look at that. And so what's the other kid, that nose guard? Clark. I mean, you look at him, you see where he's at. So you got some pieces that maybe you can build around that you've got to get better at.
Oh, let's do this. By the way, the Forward Thinking is brought to you by our friends at Forward Financial. Moving forward together, learn more at FFPWI.com. That's Forward Financial Partners, FFPWI.com. Mike McCarthy was at the podium for a very short period of time. Cut him off.
Done.
Start to ask a question. They said, that's it. Done.
Let's go get in the shower. Let's go on the bus. Let's go home.
Doesn't want to answer.
Been there before.
There was a question being asked as they said, that's it.
No, we're done. Jason says we're done. Let's go. Let's go get
pretty nice of them to cut it off like that.
Yeah. It is.
Beautiful friend.
A very ominous Doors tune.
It is.
Yeah.
Because this is a ominous program right now.
Yes, it is.
Very ominous.
Let's do this. Let's get back to it. Who's been on hold the longest? Let's go to,
really? Can you see it?
Irvin, I don't even know where the hell he's at. Or on the south side. Irv, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hey, man, listen. I remember my first and second marriage, and I couldn't wait for both of them to be over.
Whoa.
I can't wait for this one to be over.
Wow, the first and the second one.
Hey, yeah, you get third time, you might get it right. Listen, Aaron Rodgers.
I sure as hell hope so.
Hey, this is the only coach he knows, and I think that, you know, this marriage between them is bad. They don't like to be in the same room. You don't want to listen to him no more. And more and more I look at this guy, he is a prima donna. He, you know, he think his, you know, what don't stink. And I don't know who you can get to bring in to corral this dude. Sean Payton, you know, if he was to be, you know, do something and maybe get out of New Orleans, maybe. But I'd like to say you need that young offensive mind that, and I like the Shanahan before he went out to 49ers, but I don't even know who you get to bring in here. But
no, you can't go get Shanahan, cuz.
Yeah, but this whole team is dysfunctional, and I think I just sometimes I feel like not having an owner hurts us because it's been too much loyalty to Mike, been too much loyalty to Ted, and look where it's got us. Nowhere. We have nothing. Like, when everybody starts dropping today, who do you go to? The well is dry.
Appreciate the phone call. There's only so much talent there. And look, we know the one area you couldn't sustain a lot of injuries to was that secondary. But I do think I do think the future's bright. You just need to – Kevin King, man, they're gonna draft that position again.
They have to.
Because he can't stay on the damn field.
They have to.
So let's do this.
They got to go linebackers and they got to go DBs.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Should be hearing from Mike Clemens from inside the locker room, inside Gillette Stadium as well. Hang in there. We got a lot more of the Green Gold Postgame Show. Final segment next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. 31-17. Packers get knocked off. Final segment of the Green and Gold postgame show. Aaron Rodgers comments, usually brought to us by Granville Business Improvement District. Granville, feel the energy and the power. Go to GranvilleBusiness.org. That is GranvilleBusiness.org. And by the way, our Chili's MVP of the game. Not a lot of huge statistics to go by, but Marquez Valdes-Scantling, just three catches, but one of them for 51 yards and 20-plus on the others. You got to give it to him. Three catches, 101 yards, a 51-yarder, that inside slant that just went, and he just burned everybody. Really nice game for him. MVS, he is our Chili's MVP. Joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline from Gillette Stadium, Mike Clemens standing by. Michael, how you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, we got you good.
Okay, good. Come from the press box here. Just got up from the locker room. Talked to Tremont Williams. Asked him about this loss. I thought at the start of the game he made some pretty good plays at safety. But after a while, you know, Josh Gordon went running right past him because it was a blown bridge. Of course, they had so many guys go down. And I asked Tremont about the situation.
You know, we just need to clean up
you know, some of the discipline. That's all I really see. I think that was the difference in this game. We were more undisciplined than them. And, you know, that's why they got a couple extra scores, because we were undisciplined, kept their drives going. And we can't do that.
What's the feeling in the locker room? Two great opponents, two road games, two close games, or two losses?
Everyone is still encouraged. Obviously, everyone is still encouraged, but to lose one, you know, when we felt we played so well, we were in the game, got a lot of stops. But the ones that we needed to get, you know, we gave away. You know, we made the plays, but then we gave it away. And that's what hurts the most about it.
Did you think they were going to try as many trick plays as they did on offense? Did you have any guess at that?
One thing about New England, man, they're going to empty out their tank. They're not, you know, they're here to win. They're going to empty out their tank. They're going to run whatever they have on that play sheet, whatever time it is in the game. And, you know, I mean, I respect them for that because, you know, you're up two touchdowns. You also know you're going against another great quarterback. Let's win the game, man. We ain't trying to save the game. Let's win the game. So, and that's the way they play, to win the game. So I respect that about them.
So another game like against the Rams where the Packers could move the ball through most of this game. And then Aaron Jones, of course, had some great plays at the start of the game. He's going through the line. Lawrence Guy, the former Packer, punches out the football. Aaron Jones fumbles. Seems like that just was the final nail in the coffin for the Packers. I don't know why, but I asked Davante Adams if that was the last straw.
I mean, obviously it was, the timing of it wasn't great, but, I mean, it's like any other game. It's a million other times to make plays. So, I mean, you can look at one play and, you know, it could have helped us, obviously, but definitely it wasn't something that lost the game for us. But, yeah, it was, I mean, that's all I got.
After standard. Some long sustained drives, those last final drives, it looked like it was hard to get in sync or get something going. Was New England doing something differently on defense at the end of the game?
No, like I said, it was just different. I mean, it's tough to make them respect the run when we're down two scores late in the game. I mean, it just kind of limits you a little bit. So I guess that, you know, as far as what we were able to do based on how much time in the situation of the game, it kind of hindered us a little bit.
And even though they were trying to run with Aaron Jones and then a check down pass, and then it's another third and long, and Aaron Rodgers is scrambling all over the field and trying to make something happen on a broken play, the play calling in the fourth quarter made no sense to me. Packer defensive players were going down left and right. Kevin King with a hamstring. Mm-hmm. Kentrell Bryce, the safety, with the knee. Blake Martinez went on a cart with an ankle. He hobbled back out there and actually was in for a couple of plays. I asked Mike Daniels about how stressed was the defense when you were losing three or four players like that.
It's, you know, we're heading to the middle of the season here, and everybody's banged up. They had it. Rock didn't play. Their starting right guard didn't play. I think Michelle didn't play. So everybody's beat up, and you're going to see that across the league. So it's no different over here.
Does today illustrate just how thin the margin for error is against a good opponent?
Absolutely. You're playing against a dynasty right there, and they're a dynasty for a reason. You can't give them anything because they'll truly capitalize on it. You saw they capitalize on some on a lot of things tonight.
Quiet locker room, and it's a losing football team right now, Bill.
Yep, no doubt, Mike. You and I talked about it during the week. We'll talk again on it about it tomorrow, okay?
Thank you, pal.
Appreciate it, buddy. There you go. Great job out there in New England. So, Gary, they come back home, they lick their wounds, and now the only thing you can do is say we're not mathematically eliminated yet.
Well, and they're not, and I still think if you look at the long-term goals, I think this team still can get to the playoffs. I'm sure that's a goal of theirs, and that's what they want to be. That can happen. They play another AFC team. They play the Miami Dolphins. It's going to be nasty. It's going to be cold. You know, look, they're looking to come in and throw the football around a little bit, but it's a game that the Green Bay Packers should win, and they're back at home. So they got to just come out and play.
One more time before a crowd of 65,878, the Packers take it on the chin. It was the New England Patriots 31 and the Packers 17. It's time for us to go. We're going to talk about it all week. Gary's got the big show locally on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. I'll be back on the air weekdays 10 to 2. We'll talk about it a lot. Time for us to get out of here. Have a going. See you.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.